fourth case of the day, Zeitz and Welter versus the City of Elgin. Mr. Mudd.
Good morning, Judge Sykes, Judge Flom, and Judge Hamilton. May it please the court. I'm here today to talk about the Federal Wiretap Act and the interpretation of that act. The statute, the Federal Wiretap Act, has always criminalized conduct by employees or agents of municipalities, states, the federal government. So it's not a question of whether or not the statute applies to municipalities. I believe the statute is quite clear that it does. In fact, in the interpretation, or not interpretation, in the explicit definition of person under the Act, it has at the outset employee or agent of any state or political subdivision thereof. So contrary to what we believe the defendant's argument to be, or the appellee's argument, the statute does apply to municipalities. The question, however, is whether the civil remedy under the Act applies to municipalities. And unlike the criminal aspects, the statute itself applying to municipalities, because just as an aside, I mean, a municipality can't act but through its employees or agents, so it necessarily is included when the statute precludes the conduct by an employee or agent. Unlike the general application of the statute that has been consistent in the definition of person, and this court has previously discussed that definition, in Abbott has been consistent, the civil remedy has changed over time. And in the beginning, it was just person, the definition under 18 U.S.C. 2510-6. Then in 1986, it added the or entity. This court in Abbott did conclude that the or entity did not include municipalities within the scope of its definition. There is other law in Adams of the Sixth Circuit to the contrary, but that's not what we need to decide here today, because subsequent to Abbott, in 2001, as part of the Patriot Act, the statute was amended again to have the clause at the end or after entity so that it reads person or entity, comma, except the United States of America. So we would contend that there clearly is now, if not before, express indication by Congress that the entity has to necessarily include the municipalities. Because if you look back at the definition of person, it includes employee or agents of any state, political subdivision thereof, then an individual, partnership, corporation, etc. There are very few entities that are not included in the definition of person. By adding the or entity and then clarifying that except the United States of America, we believe that Congress has intended to include municipalities within the civil remedy, given that the statute itself precludes a municipality through its employees or agents from violating the statute. Now,
Mr. Mudd,
yes.
Can I ask you, this is a pretty basic question here. Let's say a local police chief is handed some emails from a private detective, provides
yes.
them, and they are not from the private detective. They possibly have been intercepted illegally. The police chief reads them and sees some evidence of planned criminal activity, say planting a bomb at a marathon race. Can the police chief investigate?
That's a very good question.
Or would the police chief be committing a crime by giving those emails to a subordinate and asking them to investigate?
I believe that they would be under the circumstances in that situation, which I believe the police chief should recognize that those emails were coming under suspect circumstances that could violate the ECPA, that no, the police chief would not be able to use that evidence, just as
would be committing a federal crime by investigating that potential criminal activity that comes to his attention.
There are other circumstances, and I'm not a criminal attorney, but there are other circumstances where evidence of a potential crime that has occurred or that may have occurred, if that evidence is obtained illegally, cannot be used. Now,
let's put aside questions about suppression, okay, as a remedy for Fourth Amendment violations. But are you telling me the Federal Wiretap Act criminalizes use of that evidence to investigate and prevent crimes?
I would argue that the Electronic Communications Privacy Act, or the Federal Wiretap Act, does preclude the use of information or evidence or communications that were obtained in violation of that statute by any government entity.
Has any other court reach such a holding with respect to using information for investigation and prevention?
That's a very good question, and I'd be happy to follow up on that question, but I'm not aware as I stand here today of a court that's ruled one way or the other on that particular issue. But the way that I read the statute, it's very clear, and that it's trying to constrain the abuses of government and individuals, but you know, in the definition of person, it has the governmental employees and agents at the outset. The individuals, partnerships, corporations come afterwards. And I think from the legislative history, both of that and the Stored Communications Act, which I do believe is relevant because the two statutes refer back to one another, as appellees point out, the except the United States refers, or doesn't expressly refer, but alludes to the civil provision in the Stored Communications Act, and then the definitions in the Stored Communications Act refer back to the Federal Wiretap Act. So my position would be, and answer your question, that that is the purpose of these statutes.
What part of the definition of person includes local police employees?
Employee or agent of any state or political subdivision thereof.
Cities and their police departments are political subdivisions of the state?
I would contend that, yes, they are.
I don't know that that's right as a matter of municipal law.
Well, I would think that the statute is should be interpreted that definition, employee or agent of a state or political subdivision thereof, the state is at the top, and then the municipalities, cities, townships, and so forth fall below that. So I would expressly disagree, and I think that
based on what?
The legislative history. I think the legislative history is quite clear that even if person, let's assuming arguendo that person does not in that scope encompass municipalities or law enforcement officers, then you would basically have a situation where municipalities and law enforcement officers of a city, township, or so forth, are excluded entirely from the statute. And the interpretation in Abbott, if it was to stand, or Franklin, which just in a cursory manner affirmed Abbott, that it would have the interpretation, because entity does not include municipalities under Abbott, that the statute itself does not apply to any political entity below the level of a state, and I disagree with that interpretation. I believe that Congress intended that definition and now clearly intends with or entity except the United States of America to include all governments and their employees and agents. And, you know, going back to this, going to the Stored Communications Act, it defines, and granted Congress could have more artfully synced the two statutes, but the Stored Communications Act does have a definition of governmental entities. And so if the government or if Congress wanted to restrict the definition of entity, it could have done so. And just as statutory construction, as you judges quite know, where there's not an express definition, then the definition has to take its ordinary meaning. And as we cite in Black's Law Dictionary, entity does include governmental entity. So I see that I've gone into my rebuttal time. If I may, unless the court has anything else, I'll move on.
Thank you, Mr. Mudd. Mr. Piskorski?
May it please the court, Thomas Piskorski on behalf of Defendant Appellee City of Elgin. The obvious and controlling argument is that this court has decided this issue of municipal liability under the Wiretap Act on several occasions. There's been no overruling by the Supreme Court, no supervening developments. So under the applicable standards, the court has no basis and no reason to reverse its precedent. I would like to make a couple of arguments, however, beyond that, because the court's decisions are absolutely correct, notwithstanding the suggestion by Mr. Mudd that the court was wrong on three occasions. The plaintiff's argument suffers from the fundamental problem that it conflates two different statutes, the Federal Wiretap Act and the Stored Communications Act. The statutes are different. This court said so in Shemkovitz, where it talked about the statutes having different definitions, different penalties, different provisions for civil suits, established different rules for when, if at all, improperly acquired information may be used in the court. There's also different standards for court orders to engage in searches. So the statutes, we're talking about two statutes, they're different. They're not the same. But let me note two especially important differences. One goes to the scope of the prohibitions. Under the Wiretap Act, the prohibition is unlawful interception by a person. And the statute specifically defines person. It's never defined it to include the municipal entity or the political subdivision entity. It's always been employee or agent of the political subdivision, and then along with these private entities as well. In contrast, 2701 of the Stored Communications Act, and plaintiff isn't suing the city under that, prohibits unlawful access to stored communications by, quote, whoever. Whoever is not defined in the Stored Communications Act, so logically it includes people and non-people. So adding the word entity with respect to who can be sued under the Stored Communications Act makes perfect sense because the coverage is different and it's broader than the Federal Wiretap Act. What doesn't make sense is the argument that the city can be sued under the Wiretap Act even though it cannot be found to have violated the Wiretap Act. The second significant difference, and Mr. Mudd referenced the 2001 amendments, that amendment created 2712 in the Stored Communications Act, and that imposed standards, procedures, damages for suits against the United States under the Stored Communications Act, as well as the Federal Wiretap Act. So for the first time through 2712, Federal Wiretap Act suits could be brought against the United States when previously such a suit was not available, but subject to those conditions, restrictions, procedures. And to make clear that the suits against the United States for violations of either the Stored Communications Act or the Federal Wiretap Act must be brought under 2712, Congress added the words other than United States to both 2707 and to Wiretap Act Section 2520. Critically, though, there's nothing in the 2001 amendments indicating any intention to make cities suable under the Federal Wiretap Act. It was all and only about suits against the United States. Our view is it's an unreasonable stretch, and it's a heck of a stretch in our view, to argue that the language in the Stored Communications Act dealing with suits against the United States under the Stored Communications Act and Federal Wiretap Act had the simultaneous impact of adding and including state governmental subdivisions to who could be sued under the Federal Wiretap Act. If Congress wanted cities and other state political subdivisions to be suable under the Federal Wiretap Act, there's an easy and obvious way to do it. Amend the definition of person or change the scope of the prohibition in the Federal Wiretap Act. Despite amendments in 86, 2001, and despite having Amati and Abbott, this court's decisions before it at the time of the latest amendments, Congress never did that. It's never been done. If cities and other state political subdivisions are going to be suable under the Federal Wiretap Act, a much clearer expression of intent is necessary, and much different statutory language must be added to the Federal Wiretap Act.
The argument, it seems to me, relies on a kind of respondeat superior theory here, that because employees are mentioned and political subdivisions of the state are included, then that must be that the political subdivisions are directly suable. Or at least that is implicit in the argument, and I don't know what support there is for that.
Well, the court has rejected that, but it's because of the precise definition of person. I mean, Congress could have said the United States and any state or political subdivision could be sued or is covered by the Act, but they didn't. They specifically addressed what I think they thought was the interest, was let's deal with the people doing it, and that's why they defined it as employees or agents.
Let me ask you my marathon bomber hypothetical. I know it's not squarely the issue in front of us, but what does a police chief do in those circumstances?
Yeah, our position, we never got to that issue, Judge, because mm-hmm. of the status of the motion. Our position would be that there is a law enforcement exception to that entire
There's position. A statutory exception, and I was trying to figure out how that might apply, but it keeps referring to methods authorized by this chapter.
You're right. There's no cases on it. But what's interesting, there's this companion case involving one of the plaintiffs, Greg Welter, that Judge Dow specifically addressed, Judge Hamilton, your question in a constitutional context. And Judge Dow said, my goodness, of course the city had to act on it. An anonymous letter with documentary evidence showing criminal conduct? You're kidding me. Of course the city had to investigate it. Because the plaintiff, Mr. Welter, was arguing that he was coerced into resigning or retiring based on that. And Judge Dow rejected that for the common sense proposition. When a municipality, and the police department is part of the municipality, is presented with evidence of criminal conduct, of course they're going to act on it.
Is that a written opinion by Judge Dow?
It is, Your Honor, and we cite to it in our brief.
Okay.
I don't remember what page, I apologize, but it is referenced in there.
We expect people to know their briefs, but not which page everything is cited on. So.
My last comments relate to the Adams decision, because that seems to be a big point for the plaintiff. I would note the unusual context in which that issue arose, and we addressed that at page 30 of our brief. It was a 2-1 decision, but primarily the problem is it didn't consider the original legislative history of the Federal Wiretap Act. It downplays the significance of the definition of person in the Federal Wiretap Act. Didn't consider the differences between the Stored Communications Act and the Federal Wiretap Act regarding scope of coverage and prohibition. It erroneously said that Amati was the only case on the issue when, of course, Abbott was already out there. Franklin was decided by this court a few years after Adams. So, again, the applicable standard to reverse your precedent, that's what this case is about. An incorrect decision by one court of appeals 12 years ago is not a reason to overturn this court's precedent going back even before then. Let me close with making cities suable under the Federal Wiretap Act, and that's what the plaintiff wants this court to do, would be a material rewrite of the Federal Wiretap Act. And more significantly, it would override the very precise definition of person in the Federal Wiretap Act. The court's precedent in Amati, Abbott, Franklin, they're all correct. District court properly applied it. We ask for that reason, for the additional reasons, the alternative reasons we set forth in our brief that were presented to the district court, we ask that the judgment be affirmed.
Thank you, Mr. Pekarsky. Mr. Mudd?
Thank you. I again would just like to point out that we believe that that Congress, through the legislative history of both the ECPA or Federal Wiretap Act and the Stored Communications Act, because the statutes do interrelate and reflect and refer back to one another, does present the conclusion that should be made that person or entity other than the United States does necessarily include the ability to sue a municipality for violations of the statute by its employees or agents. If its employees or agents are in fact prohibited from violating the statute, then that addition, that language, allows the entity, the municipality, to be sued under a doctrine of respondeat superior, or because it's responsible and the only way that it can act is through its agents and employees. Finally, in the appellee's brief, and we address this in our reply brief, the appellee argues, the City of Elgin argues, that the allegations are not sufficient. We disagree, and we've briefed that issue. But we would also make the point, or emphasize the point, that even if, assuming arguendo, the allegations were not sufficient on that point, the court still needs to address the overarching Federal Wiretap Act interpretation of municipal liability so that we don't come back here after amending the complaint. And unless the court has anything further, I close and thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mudd. Thanks to all counsel. The case is taken under advisement. The court will proceed.